Let's see what happens when we dare to color outside the lines. You're listening to Color Mixology, the debut podcast from Sherwin-Williams.
Hello, and welcome to Color Mixology by Sherwin-Williams. I'm your host, Sue Wadden. In our last episode, we had two of our Trendsight team members on the show to talk about their work with Sherwin-Williams Design House. We had a lot of fun. It was a great show. So be sure to go back and check it out if you want to learn more about how Sherwin-Williams brings color to life across all kinds of coatings. By the time this episode goes live, our 2026 Color Mix Forecast will be announced, Anthology Volume 2. It's a report which details the evolutionary shifts taking place in specific color families. Our experts have been tracking the trends emerging in frosted tints, fiery reds and golds, restorative darks, and complex neutrals. And these four palettes of our 2026 forecast report showcase the key Sherwin-Williams colors we expect to see everywhere in the coming years, including the home appliance industry. So here with me today to talk about current and upcoming trends for the home is TK Wismer. She is the creative director of Cafe, an amazing, amazing designer. So thanks so much for joining us, TK.
Thanks for having me, Sue.
This is going to be so fun. I can't wait to dig in. But first, your job, like my job, is really unique. So I want the listeners to learn a little bit more about you. How did you get your start? What's your background? And what led you to this amazing role at Cafe?
Yeah, so really, I kind of started in video and film production. I was doing a lot of like wardrobe and set design. And then from there, got into working with Cafe, kind of on their major industry shows. So like kitchen and bath industry show. And that was really in about 2017, 2018. So I was really close to the brand and helping define the personality there. And then as the brand matured, it came time for a creative director. And then I was really honored to step into that role.
Which is amazing. So take a step back a second and tell our listeners what that means. So if you go to industry shows, what's your what's your role there?
So for KBiz specifically, so really kind of bringing the brand to life there, really kind of giving attendees a sense of the personality of the brand, really inspiring the designers that are there. It's a unique experience for attendees to have access to the brands that they love. And what I love about it is it's an opportunity to listen. So we get access directly to designers and builders. And so we can kind of hear from them what they'd like to see, you know, what kinds of projects are they working on. They introduce us all the time to their inspirations, how they're working with Cafe. So really, it's just a really buzzworthy show. You see all the new trends and design, and we get to see a lot of our partners there as well and see what they're coming out with for the coming year. So it's just a great opportunity to really kick off your design season.
Well, and you're being super modest. Everybody, TK is being really modest. What she does for Cafe is amazing. So her job is to create this experience that's really noteworthy and pressworthy. And people like run to see these exhibitions that, you know, brands like Cafe put together. So how she brings to life the environment of a kitchen is truly remarkable and so beautiful and so full of color. And so that's really where we kind of met, in that space. And I just love your work. And I think you're so creative in what you put together. So I want to dig into that and talk about your process a little bit. Like, how do you come together in the trend forecasting environment?
Yeah, trend forecasting is probably my favorite thing about the job. And it's, you know, kind of the aspect that never sleeps. You know, I'm constantly consuming.
Yes.
And so really, whether I'm doing, you know, research or fashion, you know, cross-market research, looking at, you know, industry experts, you know, travel is a big inspiration for me. You know, I say I get better at it with age because I can pick up on the nuances, those kind of cues when a trend is about to recycle. You know, I can say, oh, I see that coming again. And then also, it's a lot of intuition. You know, a lot of times I say it's like a coursed out meal. You know, after we have something salty, we're going to crave something sweet. So I try to predict trends the way, you know, a chef might curate a good meal.
I love that. I've never heard it described that way. I say it's like pattern recognition. Like we're really good at that. I think inherently sort of in our design process, you can spot something that's new based on pattern recognition. But I love that analogy. And I think you're absolutely right. Like those are the cycles of design.
Yeah.
But for the appliance industry, those lead times are really long. Like those cycles take a long time to evolve. So talk about that tension. Like you have to be timeless, but also at something experiential, like a trade show, you have to push. So talk about that a little bit.
We do. And, you know, when I first started with Cafe, it was, you know, thankfully they put a lot of faith in me. And, you know, the show looked very different then. And I said, you know, we have to make these color statements so that we mark people's memories, you know, so that we stand out from the crowd. And now, you know, the show looks very different. But when it comes to our appliances, you know, we are very intentional about, you know, what people really want in those products. And so we've had great success with our matte white and matte black finishes, as well as, of course, stainless is still a top option. But what we do with customization in our hardware, you know, we were really kind of the first in the mass premium market to do this. And you can continue to change that finish on your appliances, even after years of one finish, and really kind of change the whole look of a room with that customization. So we'll continue to evolve that program as well. But the feedback from designers is just, you know, over the top. They love to see those finishes and mix and match those combinations. So really, that's been our sweet spot, is staying with those hardware evolutions, and we'll have more of that.
It's so smart. It's so, so smart. It's like jewelry for appliances for those listeners that aren't familiar. And it allows flexibility. So maybe you choose a timeless color, but then you can make updates to the pulls and the sparkle, sort of the hardware elements on the appliances, and you get a totally different look. So, so clever. So we'll talk about that in just a bit, because I want to talk about some of where those trends in hardware are going. But do you lean into, back to color, so do you lean into color forecasts and sort of color reporting that's out in the world to kind of inform what you're thinking about?
I do. And we have to really be, you know, ahead of it. If I were to go, say, to social media right now to design a kitchen for KBiz next year that I have to get approvals on right now that have to be seen in catalogs 2 years from now, you know, I would either have to choose something that's really classic or run the risk of being time stamped, you know. So a lot of times I'll go to kind of the European designs, because a lot of times those will trickle in within a few years. Or really, it's kind of, again, that intuition of knowing kind of where are we now? And so where are we likely to go? And then also, some of it is just, you'll start to see these little nuances to a trend and then think, okay, that's probably going to take off. That's probably going to be hot. You know, it's these little things. I remember, like with disco balls, it was like maybe just a little bit of I saw a disco ball in one shot and I thought, oh, that would be so fun to do in a kitchen. And so we did it. And then it was within like 2 years and they were everywhere. And it was like, wow, we jumped on that, you know, so early. And then, you know, it was kind of like we were the forefront of these trends. And so timing is everything. And you don't want to be too far ahead or too far behind. But then some things, you know, when you're branding, you know, if something is core to your brand, we were one of the very first to really show off this vibrant, beautiful green kitchen. You know,
I remember.
And then every year we've had a different version of our signature green. And it seems like every brand since has, you know, come up with a green kitchen. which is great. You know, the trend comes, but because that is authentic to our brand, you know, we'll continue to do that and we'll let it evolve into all the different tones of that green.
Right. I mean, that's where color forecasts. So that's the world I live in, like reporting on what those color trends are going to be so that we are predictive, so that we are in front of it. And then again, like you said, in 2 years, you see it everywhere. And then our audience sees that and like it sort of validates what their decisions are. So I love the kind of interplay between how our industries play together in the color space and lean into kind of like these big picture trends, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit about our forecast for 2026. But let me ask you, like, what are you seeing that's exciting you lately? Anything like particularly of note?
We are all about personality, customization, and really kind of, you know, embracing trends, but really kind of being yourself. It used to be to where it was like the powder room was the only room in the house with personality. You know, you'd go into these bathrooms and oh, this is who she is, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas now the kitchens are becoming so expressive, and I love that trend. So really seeing more of that, people getting away from the idea of, you know, just designing for resale value. That's, you know, I always say that's a lot of money to spend on someone you don't know.
Oh, exactly. Such a good way to say that, for right. Sure. Yes.
So, you know, one thing we did at KBiz this past year was we did color analysis personal palettes, because I think that getting people comfortable with what looks good on them personally will open their palette within their living environment as well. So the idea is, and Megan Tinker, one of the professionals we worked with, she said this, she said, these are tools, not rules. And I loved that. It was like, this is, you know, kind of opening your eyes to other colors you could work with. It's not saying you can't play in this different palette, but it's saying, hey, did you ever think of maybe this color? Because it looks great on you, right? And so if people feel beautiful in a color, they're probably more likely to surround themselves with that as well.
Well, and a little bit of your background is you're an expert branding consultant. So I think that plays here. Like, talk about how, if listeners are interested, like how could you define your own personal brand? Talk about ways that you can identify that and maybe bring that into home. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved, you know, visual storytelling, and that's kind of what I did in set design. I always had someone in mind, you know, even when I was doing something as simple as a tablescape, I would leave a crumpled napkin because I wanted it to feel like, you know, someone was just there and you just missed her, you know, she just left. So I think always having that personality in mind, that muse, and whether in your brand, if it's yourself, you know, and being authentic and that comes through, or if it's, you know, someone else in mind or a personality. And Cafe has been great to let me, you know, have that vision of what I want that personality to be, who I have in mind, what is that authentic personality that we have in mind, and then kind of carry that thread through everything we do. And so really, I think that's the brands that really make it or resonate with the audience are the ones that just have that kind of genuine, authentic self about them.
That is very well said, and not so easy to do, especially from a big brand perspective. I think it's a little bit luxurious for Sherwin-Williams because we have, you know, thousands of colors to talk about, and we can create our narratives all the time and inspire people. But when it's an appliance manufacturer or something that's, you know, expensive, right? People aren't going to buy these every 2 years, right? It's going to hopefully last a long time in their home and be timeless, but also expressive, because that's truly what makes it unique and beautiful. And I think your work with Cafe has done just that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, but I want to dig into the launch of our 2026 color mix forecast and what that means for Sherwin-Williams. It's an exciting time for us. It is the reporting of what we're seeing over the next 18 months. And this report is called Anthology. And let me tell you a little bit about what that means. About 2 years ago in 2024, I decided it was time to take a stand on color. We had talked about the color trends, like design trends, for, you know, 15 years before that. And it was always a great cycle and very exciting storytelling and fun. And we wanted to make it really inspiring. And, you know, there's shifts all the time in where color direction is going. And so Anthology is going to be our every other year report that talks about like how things are shifting. So in 2024, we launched our first report. And now it's time to talk about that evolution in 2026, because it's a guidepost for a lot of brands, a lot of homeowners, a lot of designers to see what is coming and kind of like get comfortable with it. You know, it takes people, even designers, a little bit of time to relinquish their favorites and move into something else. So I think that it's fun to be the guiding light for that sometimes. So I can't wait to get your take. So we have four palettes, and the first palette is Frosted Tints, which TK had a little sneak peek of the palette. So I'm going to ask your opinion on kind of the direction after I like describe it, you know, visually or in words to get your take. So in 2024, we had talked about a palette of blues and greens, and they were very beautiful at the time. To your point, like we had seen that greens were really coming on strong, coming out of COVID. We knew it. And blues are always important, but the combination was really interesting. So there was a lot of saturation. There was a lot of depth. Like deep greens were really on the rise, and they were really important and influential. And now we're starting to see a softness come up. I wouldn't say that it's not necessarily a pastel, because I think it's a little richer than that, but softer tinted hues. So everything from like a yellow green to a soft lilac and blues in between, for a more sort of neutral, minimalist interior. And there's definitely a sense of calm and well-being in this. You kind of get it with the name Frosted Tints. It's not about the dopamine brightness of 2024, which is going to continue to have that moment. We're going to still see those bright pops of color, but the usage will be a little less, where the overall tone of interiors is going to soften and maybe get a little more serious, maybe a little more restorative, a little more comforting, and not overly chromatic and high energy. So are you kind of seeing that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this, especially because, you know, pastels always have their spot, but like you said, they're not as sweet, you know,
yes.
I love how these are almost a gray base, almost a wash. And what's funny, when we did our color analysis, this was right within my personal palette, what kind of looks good on me. So I think some of these would work their way into my wardrobe and my home interiors really well.
I think so too. I would absolutely bring some of these colors in. And it was a great exercise when we were doing our photo shoots to kind of pull them into like a kitchen, and they look beautiful.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for everybody to see them and see what their take is on these colors. I always struggle with what's my favorite palette. So the next palette we are calling Sunbaked Hues. And we will say that this is an evolution of 2024, which was red, pinks, and purples. We kind of had this funky palette that people were like, what? And very quickly, those reds, purples, and pinks really gained traction and took a foothold. So it's exciting to see the evolution for 2026. We're kind of calling them autumnal hues. So you can kind of picture what that is. It's a range of reds, oranges, yellows. And we have really seen in recent years warmer tones having their moment, particularly like in social media. If you guys are familiar with the Unexpected Red Theory, Buttery Yellow Summer, Our Loneliest Color campaign, we really have seen this focus on spicy, like spicy colors. And we're going to continue to see that shift. So I'm loving the yellows. I'm loving how they're kind of soft, like they're not intense yellows, but we haven't seen yellows in a long time. So having them come to prevalence is exciting. And we're seeing it in fashion, interiors, home accessories, all across the board. You get these notes of warmth. There's a nod to the retro. There's a like throwback 70s palettes. Like, of course, these colors are really influential and important there. And then you pull in corals and you get deep, deep reds. So like raw earth pigments. So there's this importance to this color grouping in all sorts of design styles, in all sorts of ways. And for me, that just says like, yes, these are going to be important. Pay attention. But like as a collection of hues, these really sun-baked colors are going to be important in 2026 and beyond. So what do you think about that?
I think you're right on. I mean, they're really popular. We kind of pulled the audience on some of their favorites. We did some prototype looks, and especially that kind of terracotta tone was one of the leads. We did almost this henna shade on the cabinetry at KBiz. Oh, and
it was
so rich, so pretty. And personally, I've been having this kind of lemon yellow phase recently. Somebody called me to, you know, help with some colors in a space 2 days ago. And I said, okay, but I have to warn you, I'm in a yellow phase.
So, were they scared or did they like it?
They're like, you do you, you know, whatever.
It's great to see. It's great to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yellow is tough. So
it is.
I love it.
And like a peachy, like a light peachy color has always been one of my go-to. It's just one of my most calming colors, personally.
Me too. Corals, like oranges are my favorite. So anything terracotta, peachy, yeah. Anything with that undertone, I get immense joy from. Maybe it just like, it's my fire sign. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe.
But again, I love it. And I think it's an evolution of pink. So we're moving a little into this orangier undertone versus just straight pink. And, you know, those colors almost are neutrals now at this point in my mind because they're so accessible. So again, just a beautiful color family to pay attention to. So we're going to keep moving. We're going to go on to the third palette, which I also love, Restorative Dark. So in 2024, coming, you know, off the heels of COVID, we were really focused on creating sanctuary spaces, and that's not going anywhere. We're going to continue to see that with this return to like the modern classics in design. They're really reminiscent. This palette is really reminiscent of like sort of shades of night, nocturnal colors. They're really calm. They're really serene. They're really tranquil, but they're really deep. So the whole palette has shades like deep navy, charcoal, midnight blue, which, you know, if you think about it, like take a step back, those are the colors of night, right? And there's this stillness and peace. And I love that, but it's not just those cooler nighttime tones. It's muted, deeper greens, gray green. They're coming, like charcoals are really coming back. So I love that there's a serenity with these colors that feel both modern and timeless. And I really love that richness. And of course, burgundy has been super important for 2 years and will continue to be. It adds such a touch of elegance and deepness and sophistication. And like, you just want to entertain and like get this great energy from these deep reds. So that's why we chose to call it like a restorative darks palette. So what are your thoughts on these deep tones?
I think these, again, like you said, I think as we're trying to cool our spaces, you know, physically as well, people are really drawn. We're actually seeing kind of an uptick in our matte black finish as well as people are kind of leaning into these colors in the kitchen space. We're also seeing the popularity in the darker woods coming back as well, which is right in line with this. And I love that this kind of, you could see this working with our warm metallics, so like in our hardware, but also it looks great with like cool metallics. Like I love when I see almost an avocado green mixed with a chrome or, you know, polished nickel finish as well. It's just such a pretty look.
It's so pretty and it looks new and fresh again. Yep.
And I think these have been especially interesting in all the color drenching styles that you've seen lately. Like
for sure.
A color drenched room in one of these really opulent tones is really a stunning look.
It is. And there's nothing more dramatic. And so that leads us into kind of like foundational. So our fourth palette is foundational neutrals. And we really wanted to, in 2024's report, we didn't talk about neutrals. We talked about whites, which were super important in 24 and 25, deep tones, blues and greens, and these sort of purples and pinks. Now we're talking about complex neutrals, and we're seeing a lot of what I'm calling essentialism in neutrals. So not just warm colors, not just white and black, but this range of all neutrals kind of layered together for this very sophisticated look. Almost like somebody in my team had called it neutral maximalism, right?
Yeah.
So you can layer all these beautiful neutrals together and it doesn't feel safe. It feels exciting and textural and gorgeous with a full range. So clean white, silver gray, taupe, tan, khaki. I have not seen khaki in such a long time. It's so good to see, but it's obvious to me, like, of course there's going to be khaki. We've been talking about green and green influences neutral. So when you put green into a beige, it's khaki, right?
Yeah.
So that was an inevitable conclusion to kind of where we've been over the last 5 years. And what I love about this, it could be, you know, I'm not saying that these are palettes we want to use like colors together, but you could with this foundational palette. So talk about where you're seeing neutrals go and kind of what are your thoughts on this?
So, I mean, you might be surprised by this, but this is kind of where I play in my personal home. Because I love to switch out accessories and colors so much that I love just the layered effect of, you know, neutrals on neutral, texture on texture. And then when I get in the mood for just a wild splash of color, I can bring that in. And so I just love that you can create this, like you said, that maximalist kind of neutral tone. And then when I'm in the mood for kind of a palate cleanse, you know.
Exactly. You have to totally change your whole room. I totally agree. Yes.
But khaki, it's funny you bring that up. My own kitchen, I did my cabinetry in khaki with our matte white finish and with copper hardware.
That's gorgeous.
And I love, and especially the khaki, that it kind of mimics a wood tone, but it can play well with like wood floors. So I had the wood floors. And so I love the way you can kind of incorporate that. But yeah, I think this is a really beautiful palette. And I love those kind of nuanced darks. They're not exactly brown. They're not exactly black. They have that kind of mysterious edge about them. I think that's really interesting.
Well, we have seen, you know, blacks have been really, really important in all sorts of ways and all sorts of industries and building materials. Like we have seen black just spike. And what's nice is about these nuanced deep tones, it's not just about black. So I think we're going to see, you know, not a flattening of black, but like maybe a leveling off of the importance. And people are going to start to want a little bit more undertone in their blacks. And you get like the sophistication. So, you know, colors that have a touch of brown in the undertone, you know, they just look really complex and interesting on the wall. And it's not just flat black. I am there for that. I am ready for that sort of layering of blacks into blacks. I think it's like I'm kind of over the black thing, like fully, you know, like
the
black
flat
walls and black exteriors.
Right.
I want to see like a little shift there. So I'm excited for that. I hope people like these colors. They're really gorgeous.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about how trends are important for designers, but how does it reflect consumer mindset? You're in the appliance category, right? So your consumer mindset is of the utmost important because that's who's buying your products. How do you play there? Like, how do you talk to consumers about color and maybe even emotional response?
Yeah, so we always try to be, again, you know, trend forward. We try to listen to see, you know, what consumers want and really make sure that we're providing the finishes that help them express their personality, their creativity, and really helping them. You know, we get a lot of questions about, you know, matching or complementing our finishes and their projects. So being there for our, you know, designers and really kind of offering that guidance when they reach out is important to us as well. We've got a great design community. They've got some beautiful work they're always willing to share with us, and they love to show it on social media. But even more than their designs, they love to show their personalities. So,
Which is so great. Yes.
We've got a really fun community. So, you know, we just get a lot of expressive style. So it's really important that we continue to push the boundaries and show up for them because they're looking to us for inspiration and they keep us going.
They do. Well, and you had mentioned it earlier, but I want to talk about it just for a second. What are you tracking in wood trends and hardware trends? Because I think there's some interesting things going on, but I want to hear your take.
Yeah, I think definitely the mid-tone to darker woods are, you know, they're starting to come back. And then also, I think that just seeing the wood grain a lot more as well, whether that's colorful stains or paint that where you can still kind of see that texture through it is important as well. And then in hardware, I mean, it's still the brushed brass is extremely popular. But also some of those, you know, brushed nickel finishes are starting to come back in.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting, right? Like silvers. Yeah. Like it's silver, shiny silver.
Yeah.
In the trend world. So it'll be interesting to see how that's picked up again, especially with the mid-tone warm wood. So I would say like the, you know, for those that remember the espresso woods, like the deep, you know, deep tone woods that we had 20 years ago.
Right.
Those were like really opaque wood stains. So you couldn't see the grain of the wood below. Now, to TK's point, you're starting to see a little transparency in these midtones, you know,
exactly.
And that's really interesting. So it'll be fun to watch what designers and homeowners like paired with that, or what you're recommending kind of happening with that, like modern organic feel.
Exactly. It's a more raw expression of the darker woods,
I think, and it's really gorgeous. So yeah, that's going to be fun. Fun to keep in front of and watch how you bring that to life.
And then the multi-tone, I was in a friend's kitchen and she did one of the rich, kind of the deep teal kind of color that's close to one in your palette mixed with like a black walnut. And so, you know, a lot of different tones coming into that mix of the wood with the color. And, you know, we don't have just a huge wash of one color in the kitchen anymore.
It's really interesting.
You know, yeah. Statement islands or, you know, really seeing a lot of different colors come into play and textures.
Which is great because from 2010 to 2020, it was white and it was gray and it was Carrara marble and that was kind of it. It did not have a lot of depth or layering of color and wood finish and surface. And now I feel like it's very different. So I am also there for that. I think it's much more exciting for kitchen design.
Yeah.
So are there any key colors that you're thinking about featuring or no, without giving too much away? You don't have to give too much away, but like, what are you excited about?
What I love about the palettes, and it's always in the combinations that I get excited about. You know, it's never really one color. If you remember the Maybelline campaign from a long time ago, the Smart Beautiful, and it was like, I would cut those out of the magazines. It was always like two colors. It was so simple, but it would be like, oh, they put, you know, these two colors together this time. It's always about the mix, you know, of the two colors. I'd love that. And then mixing all the patterns. So I think definitely, you know, like I said, we're always playing with a different type of green.
Yeah.
Seeing our green evolve into these more kind of sophisticated greens will be fun. You know, we had a lot of fun with kind of the citrine green that was really trending. I think we'll evolve. We did the sagey kind of greens that were really popular. And so we'll kind of evolve to a new evolution of our green. Always one to watch for in our kitchens.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then what we do next? Yeah, right now I'm in the phase where I have to kind of, you know, condense the ideas
into a single one or two directions that you could focus on. Always really hard.
Yeah.
Well, and so that leads to a great question, which is, you know, Sherwin-Williams Coatings division works with CAFE to develop sometimes new products and colorways and finishes. So what does that process look like from a product development standpoint? Because I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it takes, as you know, a long time to, you know, really research a product and a color. And so by the time we bring something to market, we feel pretty confident in that color. You know, if you think of, you know, like your grandmother's bisque range or the avocado refrigerator. I mean, those were hot, you know, items and they still have a vintage appeal. And so we're, you know, we've got things, you know, you see like the sapphire blue and laundry and in CAFE, we're, you know, working on our coffee makers as well. So it's really working close with our partners. And, you know, we did a great partnership with you guys this year on really giving designers the color codes to understand exactly what complements our finishes so that when they go, yeah, that was really helpful. but really getting into now like some of the small appliances and in different colorways will be fun.
I think that's a great way to talk about it too. It doesn't have to be your full suite of appliances. It could be those smaller appliances that we all rely on, coffee makers and mixers and all those. You can have a little fun with those colors. So talk about like that color development, how it's a little different and maybe a little more fun.
It is. It is fun because, again, it's something you can incorporate easily, change your mind on. And until we get, you know, designers really reaching out, asking for another color, but we find that our matte white and our matte black are kind of like the white button-up shirt and the little black dress of your wardrobe, you know?
Yes.
And then our hardware finishes, you know,
your
really
jewelry.
Help you to customize that. Yeah.
Yep.
So really, but getting into the small appliances and playing with color there so that I think people are more comfortable making those purchases and because they know that they can kind of change that out. But yeah, we're always doing the research and, you know, and leaning on people like you to help guide us as well into those color stories and, you know, see what, you know, the color palettes will be from year to year.
It's sometimes pretty stressful, the work that we do. So can you think of an example, and it doesn't have to be an appliance, of a trend that maybe we thought, I'm trying to think too in my mind, something that we thought was going to take hold and it just didn't. Like it didn't, it wasn't well received in the market and it just kind of fizzled.
Last year I was designing, you know, about this time of year, I was showing a lot of people a kitchen with a lot of brown in it saying, you know, brown is going to be big. And so whenever the color of the year comes out and I'm always hoping that it'll, you know, validate.
For sure.
It's always a little, you know, nerve wracking when you go to, because some colors are kind of polarizing. I mean, we're not all mocha mousse girlies. So
completely right. But it's, yeah. And I know I have that conversation all the time with people like, this is directional. You're going to really see this out there. You don't have to put it all over your house, but get used to this color. Yeah. It's hard. But also then, you know, a year and a half later when people are like, oh my God, that color's everywhere. Good job. You're like,
yes,
told you. Of course.
And once you see colors, that's the beautiful thing about color of the year or palette. You start to see them introduced with other colors or used in new ways that you might not have thought. They get, you know, and that kind of sparks some creativity. And then but I never tell people to work with a color that they just don't like. Like there's plenty of colors.
Yes. Yes.
Don't use it just because it's trending, but, you know, give it another chance.
Yeah. To your point, like this is about personal brand at some point.
Yeah.
Like just putting something in your home that you really love and don't worry about the trends is really impactful. So don't be afraid of that. I think that's, you know, really, really good guidance. Well, we've been talking for quite a while and I love this conversation. So I'm going to kind of bring us to a close here. But what do you think is going to happen next in the appliance world? What's something interesting that you guys are tracking or that you can talk about?
So, I mean, we're always working on, you know, our features and our upgrades. That's the bulk of what we're talking about behind closed doors is, you know, what we're offering next in that regard. And those decisions and conversations are way over my,
you know, like I said,
sometimes they usually don't even call me in for that. Can you imagine?
Can't even imagine.
But a lot of just staying true to what, you know, we set out to do with Cafe, which was to be a leader in customization and in the mass premium space. So continuing that in our designs and letting people customize their appliances at a mass premium price point.
Yeah, which is pretty great. I love your products. The Cafe appliances are just, they're so beautiful. So congratulations on all this amazing work. So TK, so how, you know, how can people come and see all the great work that you do with Cafe and check out Cafe?
Absolutely. Check us out. We're on cafeappliances.com and then Cafe Appliances on our Instagram, on our social media, as well as our Pinterest boards. You can see all our inspirational work.
And if you are at KBiz next year, I think it's in Florida in February.
Yeah.
You have to go check out the booth because I haven't seen anything, but I am certain it's going to be spectacular.
Yes, come see me. I love walking people around the booth. I talk for days straight.
Days and days. I love it. I love it. Well, it's been a delight talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. And thanks for being on Color Mixology.
Thanks so much.
Before we go, we'd like to take a moment to congratulate our July Designers of the Month, Jennifer Antonia at Fox & Chanko Interiors, a nationally recognized design team located on Long Island and revered for their welcoming and relaxed residential spaces. Help us congratulate this talented duo on social media at SW Design Pros and find out more at foxandchanko.com. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and tell other design and color lovers about our show. See you next time on Color Mixology.